You're listening to audio from Liberty Church Coomera. For more information about our family of churches, visit us online at liberty.church.
Good afternoon. Beautiful. Good afternoon, friends and family. Welcome to Liberty. If you are a visitor, it has been good to worship Jesus. I've enjoyed that this afternoon, and we hope you have too. My name is Darren, lead pastor here at Liberty Coomera, and we are going to be joining back in with a Proverbs series that is happening across Liberty Churches. So we're going to be in Proverbs today, looking at wisdom, which is everyone's favorite thing to go and grab. It's easily accessible. You can buy it, download it, stream it. It's something that is to be sought after. It's actually none of those things, but it is accessible. It is good, and we want to look at wisdom. So today is going to be a bit of an introduction to the book of Proverbs, looking at what wisdom is, and you're going to be hearing from a 31-year-old. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to hear from God's Word. Secondly, I want us to look at what the start of wisdom is, like how do we get it, and then how it might apply to our lives. But let's begin in the beginning of Proverbs 1. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me. We will read Proverbs 1 and then the start of Proverbs 3, just the start of these two sections, and then we will pray. Proverbs 1, Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and direction to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and the riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We'll turn over to Proverbs 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. The length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We're grateful that you have revealed yourself in your word. We, God, have sung praises to you, exalting your name. And now we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would be with us as we turn to your word. What we know not, would you teach us? What we are not, would you make us? We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus, and all those who agreed said, Amen. Well, we're talking about wisdom, and so the first question, good question for us to ask is, can you ever remember a time when you said or did something unwise? Can you remember a time when you said or did something unwise? As I thought through this question, I was pleasantly surprised to find a treasure chest of options to bring before you and lay before you my unwise things. So here are three of them. Growing up, I had one time I wanted to have a competition of my instincts versus my will, and so I decided to see how long I could hold a bee in my hand for. Just this battle of instincts and will. It was just quite exhilarating. Another time I had a Digimon. Who hands up if you remember Digimons? The brilliant little electronical dinosaurs that you trained. It was wonderful. And I thought I would have to make sure that this Digimon would never accidentally get into the bath when I was training it having a bath. Because that's what you do. You got to train your dinosaurs so it beats other dinosaurs when you battle. So I did a little experiment. I was like, if it ever falls off, I'll grab it like this and I'll stop it. And of course, I'd missed grabbing it and the bath was full and the Digimon got wet. I've been unwise, not just with my actions, but with my words. Maybe you've found times where you've said unwise things. Turns out when you start a dating relationship, the lack of wisdom just comes out like a fire hydrant. I remember one moment, Teagues messaged me one morning. We were dating early on in our relationship. She said something romantic. She said, my love, you have been running through my mind all night. It was lovely. I messaged her back. Gee, it sounds like I must be quite tired. It wasn't quite the response Tegan wanted, and I learned to not watch too much comedy because my life is not a comedy. Now, the consequences of some of those unwise things, actions and sayings, they're somewhat inconsequential, right? I got stung by a bee, a Digimon had to be dried out in a bag of rice. My wife said yes to marrying me. It's worked out pretty well. But can you think of some times when you were unwise and the consequences were a little bit, well, more serious, maybe more severe? Think about a time when you spoke a word out of turn. Think of a time when you maybe sought your own satisfaction instead of others. Maybe a time when your pride made you want to have the best position rather than taking the lower one. Maybe think of a time when you were defensive when being corrected. Think about a time when you were tight on money because you spent the money that you were supposed to save. Think about when you did that thing and you didn't want your parents to find out. Or think about the time you did that thing and you didn't want your spouse to find out. Maybe you can think about a time when you bragged about yourself only to be found and put in your place by others. Think about that time you overate at Sizzler because it was an open bar, food salad bar. Think about the time, not the drinking bar, because that wasn't happening at Sizzler. Think about the time you should have kept your mouth shut, but you couldn't, and you just blurted it out. Think about the time maybe when you should have opened your mouth, but you stayed silent. Or the time you rushed to finish an assignment or a project because you were too distracted with Facebook. Now, if you can think of any of those moments in life, the book of Proverbs is for you. If those things landed anywhere, the book of Proverbs is the book that we need to turn to. So where can we fix? Where can we find wisdom? You and I need to find wisdom. We need to know how to navigate life, not just the questions of what is right and what is wrong, but what is wise and what is unwise, the gaps of life, the in-betweens. Well, the author of Proverbs wants to help us out. He's going to introduce us to the Lady Wisdoms personified here, and she's going to be our loving guide. So what is this book about? Where does it start and how do we live it out? So it starts there. We see in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. This is a book about wisdom. Now, if you're familiar with the person Solomon, he was David's son. He was the world's wisest man. He was king over Israel. He prayed to God and asked for wisdom to be able to lead the people well. And so he has compiled these sayings along with sayings of King Lemuel and King Agag. And these people have passed on their wisdom. It says in verse 1 of chapter 3, "My son, do not forget my teaching." This wisdom is kind of like a father-son conversation. We're passing on the wisdom from papa to son. But it's not just for sons. In this kind of context, initially it was for the rulers and the kings. So those who were going to be ruling needed to be wise. They needed to be able to apply the law and figure out the in-between. But then it kind of spread broader than just sons, because we see that the son was not to forsake the mother's teaching. Now, for a mother's teaching to be kind of learned, she had to be familiar with the Proverbs as well. So the mothers are involved, and mothers at one stage were once daughters. So young women were also kind of accessible to this text. So Proverbs, in a very broad way, is for all of us. It is for those, it says, who are simple. Verse 4, it gives prudence to the simple. So prudence is the ability to kind of read a situation and know how best to respond. Those who are simple need to learn this. It gives knowledge and discretion to the youth, something we're not born with. So if you're young here, if you've ever been young, you're not as wise. You're probably wiser now than you once were, but you're not as wise as you will be one day. Hopefully you will grow in wisdom. All of us come out the womb very foolish. We need to grow in wisdom. Knowledge for the youth. Knowledge is knowing how the pieces of life fit together. And discretion, not being able to see through things, not being trapped by it. You ever seen young people get tripped up on foolish decisions, unwise ventures, just learning. This is, you mean I have to pay back Afterpay? Is that how, I thought that was credit cards. I thought Afterpay was free. And so we get caught up. We need to learn wisdom. So it's for the young, it's for the simple, but it's also for the wise. Did you see that in verse 5? Let the wise hear and increase in learning. The one who understands obtain guidance. So the wise people continue to come back to a book like Proverbs to learn, to grow, to understand. If you are old or older, older doesn't necessarily mean wiser. You can be old and foolish. You can be young and wise. If you've ever seen people playing pokies with addictions, you know that you can be old and foolish. So we need to hear the teachings, we need to grow in wisdom, we need to obtain guidance. This is the broad scope of who he's writing for and what he wants them to know. The first 9 chapters of the book are a bit of an introduction, telling you a bit about Proverbs, and then chapters 10 to 31 are the actual Proverbs. Now, when I say the word Proverbs, I wonder what comes to mind for you. I wonder what comes to mind when you think Proverbs. Initially, I just picture that kind of Chinese guy who's got the goatee beard down to halfway down his chest, and he's got some Chinese proverb that he wants to share with me. Biblically speaking, that could be part of the story. When we hear Proverbs, they're kind of short sayings that contain truths. Short sayings that contain truths. You might be able to help me out and finish these ones. Ready? Participation. The early bird gets the... Great. The second mouse gets the... Brilliant. There's some things in life, or an apple a day keeps the... Which is awesome if that was true. But some of our proverbs in our culture today aren't actually that helpful. Ones like learn and live. Live and learn, sorry. When Proverbs would say learn and live. This dyslexia doesn't help. Try before you buy. When Proverbs would say keep the marriage bed pure. Or follow your heart. When Proverbs would say lead your heart. You know, you do you. Be your true self. Live out your desires. Proverbs of the world that just aren't lined up with the Proverbs of Scripture. So the Proverbs that are contained in here, though, are awesome because these Proverbs are there to help us live rightly. These Proverbs aren't just there so you and I can have our best cracking life now. Like, they're not just there so you can smash it out in the public and just be like, brilliant, this person is incredible. They're actually an implication of right living. That's what the Proverbs are. They're an implication of right living. You see that verse in verse 3? It says to receive instruction and wise dealing in righteousness, justice, and equity. The kind of wisdom we're talking about is the kind of wisdom that is living rightly, a rightly ordered life under God's rule. Now, the only way you can do that is if there is a certain fabric to life, a certain structure to the world that you can live in line with that is righteous, that is wise. That's what Proverbs is trying to do. It's trying to help you live with the grain of life. You'd be wise. You would seek it out. You would search it out. Now, there are obviously many facets of this wisdom, and it's teased out in verses 2 to 6. If you imagine wisdom like a rainbow, that it can be refracted into many colors, Proverbs kind of opens up all the different aspects of what it means to be wise. We might think, oh, wise means intelligent. In fact, I searched using Google, the source of wisdom today, historically people known for being wise. And it was quite remarkable. A lot of the responses that came up were 40th most intelligent people, top 15 smartest people, people in history with great brains. It was ironic because none of it mentioned wisdom, all of it mentioned intellect and smarts. Now there is a sense in which wisdom here does mean masterful skill. Or understanding, learning how to kind of where the pieces fit together. There is that part of wisdom, but it's so much more than that. If you read from verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, words of insight, wise dealing, righteousness, justice, equity, prudence, knowledge, discretion, all these things you can kind of put in this category of wisdom. These are the multifaceted thing of wisdom. Wisdom is incredible. Wisdom is to be sought. It's a wonderful thing. We need wisdom. Our rulers and our country need wisdom. There's one thing that we would all love right now at every level, across every sphere, across the whole country of Australia, people and politicians, is wisdom. How do we know how to respond to the fires that we've been presented with, and how do we help not happen again? We need wisdom. We need wisdom in dealing with that and figuring it out and distributing things. Well, the kings needed wisdom. They had to know the law, they had to apply the law. But how many of us know that there are a lot of decisions in life where it's not a simple right, wrong answer? Many of us like navigate life and we have a question in our mind, is it sin? And if the answer is no, it's not sin, therefore we think it has a green light. What the book of Proverbs wants to do for the life of the Christian, the Jesus follower, is introduce the question, is it wise? Is it wise? It may not be sin, but is it wise? Like, eating McDonald's regularly isn't sin, but is it wise? There are young couple. When I grew up in a time where spending one-on-one time at your girlfriend, boyfriend's house when parents weren't around, like that just wasn't a thing. Like, that just wasn't happening for the Christian growing up. And we live in a culture now, in a Christian culture, where overseas trips for long periods of time seems like a good option. Now, is it black and white biblically sin? No. But is it wise? Well, no. Wisdom. What is wise? There's so many times in our life, there is a big gap sometimes that kind of falls through the mesh of God's laws that is caught by wisdom. And we need to learn what those things are. And that's what Solomon was praying for. That's what he was asking God for. Wisdom. Like, when someone hurts you, do you confront the issue straight away or do you leave it for a bit? When someone has been caught in a sin, do you mention it or do you let it go? Do you answer a fool according to their folly or do you not answer a fool according to their folly? Heaps of questions in life, listen, heaps of questions in life just don't have a right or wrong answer. Who should I marry? When should I date? Where should we live? What job should we do? And it requires wisdom. Verse 3, again, righteousness, justice, and equity really helps us understand the playing out of how to love God and love neighbor well. And what's really, I found really amazing about the book of Proverbs, if you look into it, is if you are able to do the small things of Proverbs well, you'll generally be able to fulfill the big commands of God. So take things like this. When you feed your enemy, you generally don't murder them. When you honor your wife, you won't commit adultery. When one is generous to the poor, they won't steal. Do you see? If you do the small wise things of Proverbs, you won't break the big Ten Commandments and so on and so forth. So at some level, Proverbs is a street-level know-how. It's a way of navigating life, of figuring out what is the best thing to do, what is the wisest decision to make. And that wisest decision often really is equated with righteousness, right living. Bruce Waltke is a commentator. He's very smart, very wise. He said, wisdom in Proverbs and its correlative term righteousness is all about being rightly related to God, to other human beings, to all creatures, and to the environment. So you gain wisdom. You walk in wisdom. And it has this transformative effect on the individual, on society, and on the environment. The color of society is no longer red, dominated by the shedding of blood and the curses of not keeping the covenant. It's more green, flourishing life, kind of less Darth Vader-ish, more Luke Skywalker kind of picture of life, flourishing, fullness. This is what wisdom wants. This is what's offered to all of us, to the simple, to the wise. Well, if this is good, wisdom's a good thing. It's going to be profitable for us. It seems to have a correlation with right living and righteousness under God. So why wouldn't we want wisdom? What would hold us back here this afternoon from being wise people who pursue and walk in wisdom? Well, I think part of the problem is revealed in verse 7 by its contrast. Verse 7 says, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So listen, as if I thought through wisdom, one of the problems that you and I have in our culture today with when it comes to wisdom is that we actually have a fear of man issue. Now, when I say fear of man issue, I'm not talking about the single girl who hasn't been out too much. I'm talking about man in its anthropological broad sense, people. Man, woman, people. Fear of man issue. Here's how it works. When I fear man's approval more than God's, I'm tempted to go into debt to buy nicer things in order to impress others. It's unwise. When I fear rejection from people, I'm tempted to give into things I normally wouldn't do in order to find acceptance. Unwise. When I fear being exposed as weak or maybe not having it all together, I put up a veneer and project a stronger front so that people think that I've got it all together. Unwise. When I fear other people could threaten me, I often withdraw, retreat, and fire darts of critique. Unwise. When we fear man, we choose to put people over God. We let them be in control instead of God. We give them our allegiance instead of God having our allegiance. And the book of Proverbs is going to say that's unwise. It leads to unwise living, unwise things. Fear of man is the product of sin and it's the enemy of wisdom. So if you're wanting to be wise, start with the reality that we're in need. We're actually in need. We have a fear of man issue. God wants to invite us to have a fear of God issue. The fear of God here is the beginning of wisdom. 9 verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. You want to be wise? Know God. 15:33, the fear of the Lord is instruction. In wisdom and in humility comes before honor. The fear of the Lord's awesome. Proverbs like wants to present the fear of the Lord to you as enticing as possible. The fear of the Lord will add length to your life. Proverbs 10:27. It is the fountain of life, 15:16. It brings honor, 11:4. A security fortress to protect family. Would you like your family protected and guarded? Fear of the Lord, 14:26. And fear of the Lord should be praised, 31:30. That's a good thing to want to fear the Lord, to be on his path, to obey him, to have the kind of awe of God, reverent, submissive awe to follow him and follow his ways. Listen to the impact of truly fearing God instead of man, Ed Welch put in his book, When People Are Big and God Is Small. Just imagine, ready? Just imagine what it would be like to truly hate sin. First our own, then the sin of others. Matthew 7, 3-5. What would happen in marital fights? They would be impossible. Spouses would be too busy listening and asking for forgiveness for their own selfishness. What about the little cliques in the schoolyard? Remember them? They would be telling good stories about somebody else. What about when someone sins against us? We would no longer have to murder the person in our heart. Instead, we could cover the sin in humility and love. Or we could confront the person in the same spirit. That is a world that is an offer for people who want to walk in the way of wisdom. People who want to walk in wise. The fear of the Lord makes you run to him, not from him. The fear of the Lord wants to make you honor him, not disappoint him. It's a beautiful thing. Here's the irony. I love how Ray Olin puts this. The more you fear the Lord, the less you will fear man. The more you depend on the Lord, the more independent you will be. So if you're young here, young adult, bracket, teenager, if you're wanting independence, independence doesn't happen by you pursuing your own identity. You find it, you create it, you craft it, you thrust it upon the world. Your identity, your independence is actually found as you depend on Jesus in receiving the identity he has given you. The more you resemble Christ, the more of an individual you will be, the more you obey him, the freer you will be. Life will work for you with healing and refreshment. Would you like healing and refreshment in your life? Come and get wisdom from the Lord. Don't despise it. Don't neglect it. Don't treat it with contempt. That's what fools do. That's what we need. We need to obey it. Well, we needed that. The king of Israel needed that. Solomon needed that. And if you're familiar with the Solomon story, you might know that Solomon, for a wise guy, did a lot of dumb things. For a wise guy, he did a lot of dumb things. And the problem with Solomon was meant to be the wise leader who would pass on wisdom to his sons, who would keep leading the nation of Israel well. But the problem is, by the time it passed on to his sons, it's such turmoil. The nation splits. Foolishness is rampant. The kings and the leaders failed. And so the Solomon story kind of has you asking, would there ever be someone who is wise? Would there be ever someone who can be a wise leader? Someone who can keep the covenant, apply the covenant, and walk in wisdom? And it leaves you with this gap of expectation. Would there be one day? Well, beautiful Jesus comes in as the covenant-keeping king. He lives this wise life. He lives with prudence. He gets put in sticky situations and he answers with tact and cleverness and justice and wisdom. On our own, we would never choose wisdom, but God has put Jesus on the throne and he's walked the path of wisdom in our place, and then he's given us this wisdom. So we've got to make sure when we pursue wisdom, I don't want you thinking, I've got to now try and attain a certain status to be a wise person so people can recognize me as wise. That's not the point. In fact, we are humble people, foolish people, pursuing wisdom by the power of God's grace. The good news is, through faith in Jesus, you and I don't have to obtain wisdom to get all the promises that wisdom promises. In fact, Jesus has done that for us. He's kept the covenant and he dishes out all his promises to us. We don't keep it in order to get, we already have in Christ a new heart, God's spirit, personal knowledge of him. We're equipped to walk in the way of Jesus. And this is what started to strike me from this book of Proverbs. I think for a lot of my life, I've prayed for wisdom. One of the things I've done in my life is, Proverbs has 31 chapters in it. Most months of the year have 31. Some have 30. Some, one is 28. Every 4 years, 29. Pretty wise. but I've kind of found in my own life just a temptation to try and be that next step ahead. I found in my heart, particularly as a younger person swimming in a pond with older fish, a incessant need and desire to want to appear more wise than I actually am. And so I feel like sometimes the wisdom for me is a little climb up the ladder, be wise, and then people will appreciate you. And I realize I'm just missing the grace of wisdom that is actually here. Wisdom isn't this idea where you can climb the ladder, have all, know it all, but rather it's actually a place of humble receiving. Look here in verse 1, it says to know wisdom. If you're going to know something, it implies that someone has revealed something to you. We wouldn't know wisdom if it wasn't for Jesus. Jesus has revealed wisdom to us. He was the word that became flesh. It says to receive instruction. You can't receive unless someone offers. Jesus has graciously offered us him, not just wisdom, but himself as a representative to take our place for all our foolish mistakes. He gives, implies he's generous. This is the wisdom we get. Isn't because we've earned it, because Jesus has given it generously. And to hear implies that he has spoken. God has spoken through the Son, Jesus Christ, that brings life to us. So wisdom isn't something we try and drum up on our own. It's actually something we just sit and receive from the Lord. We receive it. The wise pursue it, the simpleton go after it. Well, that's what wisdom is, and that's how we get it, the fear of the Lord. It would make sense then to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. Maybe you've heard this proverb. Maybe you've sent it to someone in a time of trial. Have you needed this scripture in your life at some point? Have you needed wisdom with a decision to make? And someone sent you Proverbs 3:7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. I think Jesus has earned our place of trust. He's earned the place of wisdom and the source of wisdom that we should go to. As A.W. Tozer said, not since Adam stood up on the earth has God failed a single man or woman who trusted him. I'll read that again. Not since Adam stood up on the earth has God failed a single man or woman who trusted him. This idea of trust is to be fully face down. It is this complete surrender. You're completely vulnerable. This is the kind of trust that we are called to lean on Jesus with. Not a half-hearted trust, not a bit of trust on Jesus and a little leaning on us, but a full, open, face-down trust in the Lord, which we know this is hard to do. So how can we do that, implication-wise? How do we have this full face-down surrender as we walk in wisdom? Well, I think the first thing here, we need to bring the wisdom of God close. We need to bring it close. In our life, we need to bring the wisdom of God close because, listen, there are plenty of other words and wisdom and messages that are coming at you, and they are very, very close. They are so close, you and I probably don't pick up on them. And so we need to bring the word of God close so it gets a say in. It says in verse 1, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Friends, could you imagine what it would be like if we brought wisdom closer to us than we brought our phones? Could you imagine what it would look like if you consulted the God of infinite wisdom instead of the false God of finite wisdom through your phone? We have an intimacy issue in our generation. And I say generation, I don't just mean young adults. I'm talking about everyone alive right now. We have an intimacy issue in our generation when for some of us, the first thing we go to and the last thought at night is our mobile device. That is a problem. It is not wise. It is foolishness. Is it a sin to check my phone in the morning at night? No. But is it wise? Is it wise? Do you bind that closer to you than the words of God? When you're feeling anxious, when you're feeling your heart race, when you're concerned, when you're worried, when you're fearful, what are you binding closer? What are you drawing from? Have the words, the commandments been close to grab? It says, bind them close. Keep them close to you. Parents, can you imagine how wonderful it would be if your children had taken your commands to heart the first time? Could you imagine how the ease of parenting? Now, everyone here, could you imagine how much easier you would have made your parents' life if you did that? Yes, Mom, I hear you. I realize screaming at 5 in the morning is unproductive to your sleep and inconvenient for our neighbors. I shall cease such activities. Be quiet, persisting in sleep until you call my name. Every parent said, where is such child? Bring them forth. It would have gone blessing. Bring them close. Obey them. Listen to them. God has a whole book on wisdom that he wants to help you navigate life. So often we find ourselves going, I'm just not sure what to do. Well, come and seek. See what he says. If you have daily troubles and questions that require wisdom, how often do you think we might be daily in need of God to provide wisdom? The answer is daily. So, bring them close. Secondly, keep them safe. Keep them safe. So, there is a sense in which we should guard. Our hearts need to keep the commandments. Our hearts, like, guard the commandments. We keep them safe. We protect them. There is like an active element to this. You won't be wise passively. It's got to be an active decision to be wise. The world and the flesh is trying to rob you of wisdom. And so often you and I become co-conspirators and we join in the assailing attack on our souls. We just buy right into it and play along. We've been co-opted to other desires. And he's saying, no, keep safe. Don't join in. Pay attention to the thoughts and decisions and feelings you have. Guard your heart. You got to guard it. With your heart, keep and guard the commands. The other day, I'm trying to pay more attention to my heart. I'm trying to pay more attention to some of the things my heart goes to turn to in order to give me the pick-me-up. You know what the pick-me-up is in your life? It's the thing that when you may be feeling a subversive level of anxiety, you go to that thing just to kind of help pick you up. Could be a distraction. For me in this moment, I was driving. My heart was low, emotionally a little bit low. And I'm like, gosh, I just want to go and buy that thing. And what might have happened previously, as I go and buy that thing, get my little hit of dopamine, brilliant. I have now medicated my soul by a thing. We've kind of bought into the conspiracy that that's going to do the trick. But it doesn't do the trick, does it? Because you wake up the next day and the twinge is still there. So you got to buy another thing. So this time, by God's grace, I'm learning. I felt the urge and I'm like, ha, I'm onto you. I'm onto you. You're trying to distract me from where I'm currently am. And so I had to realize that my heart was troubled. And in that moment, I need to kind of keep the teachings. I didn't forsake the teachings and buy into the world's teachings of consumerism as medication. I had to buy into the teachings of Scripture to cast my anxieties on Him because He cares for me. That's wisdom. That's a gracious invitation by God. Stay alert to the moments of your life. It's going to lead to length of days, verse 2. So, bring them close, keep them safe, and thirdly, hold nothing back. When it comes to wisdom, hold nothing back. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. To acknowledge God is to actually just say, God, You are the authority right now, and I'm going to submit to You. You are the authority in my life right now, and I come under Your leadership. Sometimes the authority of God in our life is hard to spot because we're used to the authority of self. If you've had this moment, you're driving, potentially you've been texting, maybe you've stopped that because of the fines that are coming your way. Maybe you're speeding, you're thinking it's fine, I know this street, I'm going to get away with it. Maybe you're doing something in your car that's illegal, whatever it is. And you feel like you're in control and that you're the authority. Now you can live in that daydream, but it gets broken when you see those little blue and red lights, doesn't it? Or then lights even have to be on, that car just comes within view and you get the full guilt that just set into your soul, I've done something wrong. I see cop cars generally growing up. It was like, particularly when you're new driving, you just assume you've done something wrong. I think it's me. I'm just guilty. Pull me over. I've done something wrong. But in that moment, you're living as if it's fine. You're the authority source. No drama. I've got this. The fool says, I've got this. But when you actually, authority comes up beside you and you recognize it and you see it for who it is, you then what? You submit. You pull over. None of you drive fast enough cars to get away. You pull over. Listen, the authority of God actually wants to come and pull over to the side of our life sometimes and just ask us to submit to it for our own good. It's not trying to rob us. It's not trying to take away from us. It's not trying to take you off the path of life and move you towards death. It's the opposite. So acknowledge Him in all your ways. Put your ways before the Lord. Put the way you spend your time before God and say, Lord, the way I use my time, is it under Your authority or authority of the world? The way I spend my money. Listen, the way you spend your money, does God get 100% say over how it all spent? Or do you have a little section that He gets and then you decide the rest? Because in God's economy, He gets it all. He decides how we do it. So let the authority acknowledge Him. Let his authority come up and lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him. Now, when I think through lean not on your own understanding, I think you can divide the world into two types of people. They're the kind of people, when they have an IKEA flat pack, they're the people that read the instructions, and there are those who lean on their own understanding. There's the instruction people and those who are our own understanding. Now, some people lean on their own understanding are like, I've got this, I've done it before, I'm pretty good, and I reckon I can give it a good crack. They're the people who lean on their understanding. Sometimes it works for them. Now, the problem is, that's what the sinful heart says, but the truth is, have you actually done life before? Like, have you actually done this whole thing of life before and finished it and completed it with an A-plus scorecard? Because if you haven't, then there's a chance you haven't done this thing before and you need to pay attention. Do you know all the pieces of life? I know all the pieces, I understand this, I don't need the Allen key that looks like a bite, I don't need that. Okay, but listen, have you got all the pieces of life sorted out? Do you know how to put them all in place? You sorting well, family, friendships, money, church, God, school, education, saving, investment, health, time, you can put all those pieces in place? I'm not sure you and I can. So we can't be like that. We actually need to be the person who doesn't know and relies on God. So workers, how's that work-life balancing for you? Students, how's time management anxiety treating you? Mothers, how's those routines and life balance treating you? Singles, how's navigating the potential of potential or absence of relationships? Marriage, how's the ease with your spouse going? All these things should remind us that we are in desperate need of wisdom. Not to lean on our understanding. Trust in the Lord. We are foolish people pursuing wisdom by humbling ourselves under the Lord's correction. That's what Ray Ortland said. So let us trust in God. Church, what would it be like if this year you and I stopped relying on our finite wisdom and started relying on the infinite wisdom of God? Would you like infinite wisdom in your life? To know how to best navigate the decisions that aren't clear-cut? It's a kind of life that looks confident. It's the kind of life that takes ground in trusting Jesus. And finish this illustration. There was I read a story of a traveler who was walking across an ice lake. As he came to the ice lake, he wasn't sure how strong it was. And so he did what he thought was wise. He went down on all fours and started kind of crawling across this ice lake. He heard this noise of a horse and a carriage and a whip behind him. And a local came careening down the hill, hit the ice lake and went straight across. The local knew the lake, crossed with confidence. There is a sense in which the Christian life should not be lived with a cautious kind of hands and foot crawling, but a full confidence in Christ, who he is and what he's done, that we may walk forward in wisdom, knowing the terrain in front of us, seeing Christ supporting us, fearing God, trusting in him fully, and seeing what he'll do with a people like us, foolish, but pursuing wisdom. I pray that we can bring this wisdom close. I pray that we can keep it safe, and I pray that we can lean on God with all our hearts. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father,